Last time we talked about the challenge to belong, and we learned how we need to belong to people if we expect to experience a great life and do great things during our lives. There's another extreme we learn from the Bible. The Bible refers to this extreme and this place as the wilderness or the desert. Did you know that about one-third of the earth's land is desert? So what does that tell us about our lives? Well, it tells me that I'm going to need to experience some deserts if I'm going to get to where I want to go in life. People go through wildernesses or deserts all the time. Now, you might say, oh, yes, I remember in the Bible that's where Jesus went to be tempted 40 days by the devil, or that's where the children of Israel went for an entire generation. Now, you'd be correct, but it's also a place where you will find yourself from time to time. It's the lonely place. It's the place that often comes with crisis. Usually it's the place that some event in life drove you. It's the place where there may be hundreds of people, but you are like quarantined and all alone. Alone with God, sometimes alone with the devil, but mostly alone with you. You come face to face with your worst enemy, you. How many remember that place? It can be a very good place, or it can be a very bad place. It will make you better, or it will make you bitter. Much of your life hinges on decisions you made in the wilderness, and no one goes through wilderness unchanged. So here's what I want you to see today. You will discover your truest understanding of who you are, of what you want in life, and how badly you want it in the wilderness. So today, I want to talk about the challenge of the wilderness. Let's talk. Everybody goes through wilderness. The difference with us is that people who do great things in their lives take that experience and work it into them, into their lives. And people that don't do great things in their lives don't do anything with it. In fact, they just get bitter. Everybody that ever understood wilderness and what it really means to your life, like Moses or Elijah or King David or Jesus, the Apostle Paul, anybody that ever understood wilderness understood that that was the place where they got closer to God. They understood that it was in that place, in that wilderness, that they were able to come to a place where they could actually hang out with God. Your life changes in the wilderness. Wilderness is extremely interesting in that you learn about life there, you learn about yourself there, but you learn to trust God. You learn God's provisions. You learn about God's presence in the wilderness. How many has ever been to a place like that in your life? There may have been 1,000 people around you, but you were alone. Something had wrapped itself around your head. Some crisis, some situation in life had wrapped itself around you, and that's all you could see. That's all you could experience. That's all you could recognize and feel in life. May have been a bunch of folk around there, but it drove you to a place of loneliness. You were alone in life, and it made you, it forced you to make some definite decisions, some life-altering decisions in your life. How many has ever been to the wilderness? All right, that's just about all of us. Well, if you haven't been there yet, I'm going to help you today get ready for it. If you have been there, there's more coming, but what I want us to see today is that how we should be able to handle those times of wilderness. How many remember the prophet Elijah? Remember him, the fire calling down, the guy with the gift of fire. He had the gift of fire. He called fire down out of heaven, burned people up. I mean, he was a professional prophet. And he went into one of these times. He was so powerful that he could face all the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth and defeat them, hack them up with a sword. But then all of a sudden he goes into a crisis and he literally runs to the wilderness. I want to read you the passage in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, speaking about this. It says this, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." A prophet. "And came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" In other words, I'm a failure, I'm scum, I'm not successful. See, that's how you feel in the wilderness. Something drove you there that's taken away your pride, that's made you feel ashamed, that's drove you to this place. This is what the wilderness does. But see, Elijah needed this wilderness. Elijah needed to learn some things from this wilderness, and he wasn't going to learn them where he was. He was only going to hear this still small voice of God in the wilderness. Interesting. Wilderness is to learn. What did you learn? Most of you raised your hand. What did you learn in your wilderness? What should you have learned in your wilderness? So what I want to talk about today is the challenge of the wilderness. And what I want to talk about are some things that we should realize in the wilderness and some things that we should learn in the wilderness. So let's talk about this. On the back of your gateways, if you want to take notes with me, then I've got that prepared for you. But one of the first things that you need to learn in the wilderness is that God is working His plan. He's working His plan. Don't be so quick to blame the devil. And don't be so quick to blame people. God's got a plan going on. And He's working His plan through the wilderness. Moses was like this. You know the story about Moses. He was put in the basket and went down the river and raised in Pharaoh's house. But then he got an identity with his people, the Israelites. And he was going to help them under the slavery and oppression that they were suffering. He was going to help deliver them. So in so doing, he killed an Egyptian. He killed an Egyptian, covered him up with sand, and then when Pharaoh heard about it, Pharaoh decided that he was going to kill him. Let me read you the passage. It's in Exodus chapter 2, verse 15. It says, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in his wilderness, Midian. Crisis drove Moses to the wilderness. But what happened there? Did God have a plan for Moses? You see, and to get him to the plan, he had to go through the wilderness. What happened to Moses in this wilderness? In this wilderness, he met his wife. In this wilderness, he had children. In this wilderness, he experienced family. But the main thing that happened to Moses is this. In the wilderness, he met God. In the wilderness, he found the burning bush. In the wilderness, he heard the voice of God. In the wilderness, he found his destiny. In the wilderness, it was there that he finally heard his purpose in life. All he was doing was keeping Jethro's sheep. But in the wilderness, he found out who he was. In your wilderness, that's what you'll find out. Do you know that so many people come to God in crisis? They come to God in wilderness. That's why you have so many jail ministries and jail salvations. It's because Michael Vick, hello. When you're going through these times, God is real to you. And Moses is in a wilderness, and Moses experiences that. And all of a sudden, Moses gets a revelation of who he is. In your wilderness times is where you'll really find out who you are and your purpose for life. Moses' world changed because of that wilderness. But not only did Moses' world change, Moses changed the world. What God wants to do in you with your wilderness is not just change your world, but all the people that are around you, He wants to affect them. He wants their world to change as well. He's changed your world because He changed my world. Am I right? And see, what God will do for all of us is let us affect the people that are around us simply because we've experienced a time of wilderness. Crisis drives us to the wilderness. Crisis drove David to the wilderness. King Saul was throwing javelins at him. He went to the wilderness, but did God have a plan for David? And He had to take him through the wilderness. Crisis drove Paul to the wilderness. He had this experience on the road of Damascus, didn't know what was going on. He ended up in the wilderness, but he found out who he was. Crisis drives people to the wilderness, but it's because God has a plan for them. Jesus found Himself in the wilderness, and I'll talk about this later. The Spirit drove Him there. We'll talk about that in a little while. But you see, in that wilderness is where He got a power. Did God have a plan for Jesus? Yes. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And we'll find that plan a lot of times in the wilderness. It takes us by surprise. We're not prepared for it. We're not like sadistic, wanting wilderness experiences, right? But when we understand them and we embrace those times and we learn from those times, we really find out who we are and what we are in the time of wilderness. It was years ago. I mean, this was like 30 years ago. It's before I even came into the kingdom of God and came to the Lord. I went through a time like Elijah. I was embarrassed. I thought I had my life all planned out. I was going to be this corporate executive in a textile corporation, and I had it all planned. I was going up the corporate ladder, and all of a sudden something happened, and I went to a wilderness. It was a crisis. I was embarrassed. I felt foolish. I felt like a failure. I felt like scum. But you see, I had a plan, but that wasn't God's plan. For me to get to God's plan, I had to go through that wilderness. That time, that many years ago, put me where I'm standing today. I am here, LifeGate Church is here, because I can relate it and hook it back up to that wilderness. That time made me so unhappy with my life. It put me into a wilderness 30 years ago that brought me to where I am today. Do you know that much of what you're experiencing today is because of wildernesses that you experienced yesterday? And decisions you made in your life at that time brought you to your life today, good or bad. Much of who you are and what you are, you can directly relate to a wilderness experience. Wildernesses are a place where God has a plan, and God's plan has to take you through the wilderness. So the first thing that we learn is God's got a plan and it's working. Don't blame it on the devil and don't blame it on people. God's working in your life. Another thing that we've got to realize is that you learn in the wilderness. Realize that you learn in the wilderness. Wilderness experiences usually bring a time of transition. They're very, very necessary because they force us to make the transition from one position in life to another position in life. For example, that transition that Moses went through made a transition for him keeping Jethro's sheep to keeping the people of God. It made the transition for the people of Israel to go from the land of a wilderness and desert into the land of the promised land. It made the transition for King David and his transition from being a shepherd to being the king of all of Israel. It made the transition for the Apostle Paul from being a Pharisee to being an apostle. It made the transition in my life from being a textile executive to whatever I am today. But it's a time of transition, and it always brings transition in your life. And sometimes it lasts for a few days. Like with Jesus, you can get through him sometimes in 40 days. Or sometimes it'll take 40 years. Sometimes people live their whole life in the wilderness. You never really know sometimes that you've gone through it and gotten through it until you look back years ago and see at that time and what that did. You look back at it and you see the wilderness. In the wilderness, your personal growth is the primary concern to God. Now, in the wilderness, you're going to learn about the devil. You're going to learn about God. But the main thing that you're going to learn about is you. You're going to learn who you are. You're going to learn what you are. And you're really going to come to a conclusion of what you want in life. All of these things take place in the wilderness. There are things you've got to learn in the wilderness, or you'll stay there for the rest of your life. So let's talk about a few of these things that we've got to learn in the wilderness. Here's one. You learn to trust God. You can fill that in on your notes if you'd like. You learn to trust God. Here's one of the most amazing scriptures to me in all of the Bible. It's in the book of Job, chapter 13 and verse 15, and it says this: though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now, I don't know if you're familiar and remember the story of Job, but Job's wilderness was like the Sahara Desert. I mean, the Sahara is the largest desert in the world. And this is the kind of thing that Job was in. Job, the Bible says, was the greatest person in all the land. He was the greatest. He had the most money. He had the most power. He was the most influential of all the people in all the land. But he woke up one day and all of his possessions were gone. Then he turns around and his whole family dies. All of his children are dead, except for his wife. His whole family except for his wife. And then his friends kind of come off at him. You know, it's all your fault, Job. That's why we're having this problem. And why you're having this problem is because you made all these bad decisions. And in the middle of this, and on top of that, his body was affected. He had all these sores all over his body and he lost his health. And in the middle of that desert, in the middle of that wilderness, Job says, though he slay me, still I'll trust in him. You know, I was thinking about that. I was processing that. And I come to a conclusion. I think it's a good conclusion. what happened in Job's life, and you can ask the question, who else could he trust? What else could he trust? He couldn't trust in his money anymore. He didn't have any. He couldn't trust in his family. It was gone. He couldn't trust in his own strength and health. It was gone. And his wife looked at him one day and said, why don't you just curse God and die? What a woman, right? And his friends, they had gone off on him. See, the point is this, is that a primary purpose of the wilderness is to bring you to a place that though he slay you, still you'll trust in him. A primary purpose of any wilderness experience is to bring you to the place where you can truly trust in God. The children of Israel being led out of Egypt by the glory cloud. Remember the story? Moses and the glory cloud, the presence of God, leading them out of Egypt. Led them to a very tough place, but he was leading them into the wilderness. Think about that. Leading them into the wilderness, and he leads them to the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, they get into a very hard place. The Red Sea's on one side, and Pharaoh's army's on the other side. And the army's got weapons, and these guys don't have any. And they're sitting ducks. They're in a hard place. What are they going to do? Trust in God. That's all they can do. Did God show up? He certainly did. And they looked back, and they saw what God had done. Exodus chapter 14, verse 30 says this. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw, they looked back. See, you don't understand. You'll go through a wilderness time, and all of a sudden there's nothing you can do anymore but trust in God. And then you'll look back and you'll say, wow, look what God did. How did you do that? It doesn't matter how he did it. He's God. He can do it. And they looked back and they saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. There's something about a wilderness experience, a hard time in life, that will bring you to a place where you can trust in God because there's nothing else to trust in. It brings you to a place where you'll trust the people of God in a way that you don't normally do. Normally you'll trust in your own abilities, in your own power, in your own authority. But there's a time in wilderness where you can't trust in anything but God and God's people. And that's where these people had come to. Wilderness brings you to a place where you trust in God. They learned, hear me now, they learned to trust in God in the wilderness. They didn't learn to trust in God in Egypt, and they didn't learn to trust in God in the land of promise. They learned to trust in God in a hard place. And so will you. Another thing that we must learn in the wilderness is that you learn God's provisions. Write that down if you're taking notes. The children of Israel experienced God's provisions for 40 years, and we should learn something from that. No matter how long your wilderness lasts, God will provide for you. You know the story. He provided them with manna and water, and quail, a delicacy. He provided heat and air. He provided everything they needed in this wilderness, light and dark. I mean, he took care of these people. But you know what? When they come out of the wilderness, all that stopped. Read it to you. Joshua 5:12 says this, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. They'd gone into the promised land. All that other stuff stopped. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. Where did they learn God's provisions? In the wilderness. You'll learn God's provisions in the wilderness, not in the land of promise, not in your Canaan land, but you're going to learn that God will provide for you in the hard times of life. I did. Interestingly, all the wildernesses that I've ever been through, I've never missed a meal. I've never missed a payment. I've always been able to provide for my family, for my children, send them to school, do whatever was necessary in all the wilderness times. All the wilderness times. And you know what? I just remember that thought a while ago that I had when they looked back and they saw Pharaoh's army is dead. I look back at all my wilderness times and all the pharaohs of life and pharaohesses that have tried to attack me with their armies are either dead or meaningless now. And I look at it and God has taken care of me. Even though it's been wilderness times in my life, it's always been so good. I've told this story 100 times and I don't want to bore you with it, but it is so powerful. I just feel like it's necessary here. In 1996, we were going through a wilderness here at Lifegate Church. And we was kind of like Elijah. You know, Cherubim Brook had dried up, and there was no more water coming in, and the ravens had stopped coming, and there was no money, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We had to pay for the building and all the, you know, the salaries and things that were going on, and there was no money. And so, you know, you remember the story. The Lord spoke to Judy, told her to just make a board and get everybody to come and pledge. And in 20 minutes, God provided enough money to pay off the building, pave the parking lot, and carpet this whole facility. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, that didn't happen in the promised land. That happens in the wilderness. I learned God's provision in the wilderness. And so will you. God wants us to understand these things if we're going through it. Another thing that we need to learn, the third thing we need to learn, write this down if you're taking notes, we learn God's presence. You will experience God's presence in your wilderness times far superior than you'll experience His times when things are going well in your life. Moses heard God's voice in the wilderness. The Ten Commandments, the law, he heard all this on the in the wilderness. David could hear God in a mulberry tree in the wilderness. He didn't hear God too well in the palace when he's watching Bathsheba take a bath. You can hear God's voice in the wilderness in a way you can't hear. How many of you pray better, pray more, pray harder when things are bad rather than when things are good? Be honest with me. All right. See there? You want to hear Him. You want to find Him. God's presence is real in the wilderness. God's presence shows up in the wilderness. You experience Him in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul, it was in the wilderness of Arabia where he got his head wrapped around the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me read this to you in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. It says this, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." It was in the wilderness of Arabia where Paul, the apostle, got the revelation of Jesus Christ and what he was supposed to do with the rest of his life, which was preach that gospel to the heathen. In the wilderness, the presence of God shows up in a way that nothing else will happen. Even heathen people find God in the wilderness. Let me ask you first, how many of you have ever made a deal with God in a hard time? God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll... Come on, be honest with me. Right, there you go. Heathen do it too. But you see, what I'm trying to get us to see is it's supposed to be that way. It's okay. That's part of why they're going through it. Because God wants to make Himself real to them. He wants to open up Red Seas and give them manna and quail and water. He wants to take care of people. He loves people. And He'll use that wilderness time. People make deals with God during those times. This is a very precious verse in the Bible. It talks about Moses. Moses is in the wilderness. And all the people are in the wilderness. And Moses has been hanging out with God. And Moses says, you know, I want to see your face. I've heard your voice. I want to see your face. And let me read you the verses in Exodus 33:18, and it says this, "Then Moses had one more request. Let me see your glorious presence." You know the story. God told Moses, you can't handle you can't handle it. I'll get close to you. I'll make myself more alive to you than I've ever been before. And he did in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God comes alive to people. In the wilderness, His presence is so real to people. He's more alive in the wilderness than any other place. Well, Delbert, is there a way to avoid wildernesses? Can we go around them, over them, under them? Can we avoid times of being in the wilderness? No. Not even Jesus could avoid the wilderness. I'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. You're going through wilderness times in your life. I do think there is a principle, one principle, that if we were to do this, we never get it, but if we did this one principle in life, I really believe that we could avoid unnecessary wildernesses, and I believe that we could shorten the time that we experience wilderness like Jesus. We can shorten it to 40 days or go through 40 years. or a whole lifetime. I think there's one principle in the Bible that if we apply this principle to our lives, that we can surely shorten our wilderness times and avoid unnecessary wilderness. And here it is. This is it. It's observing the Sabbath. Now, I know that sounds weird. You know, that sounds Old Testament and all that stuff. But it's simply because we've never gotten it. We never understood what it really means. The Sabbath is taught from Genesis to the book of Revelation all the way through. You remember God worked 6 days on the seventh day. He rested, and we call that the Sabbath, and it is. Part of the Sabbath means to rest. But the word Sabbath is first used in the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Now, I don't know if you know your Bible that well to know where the people were of God were in Exodus chapter 16. But let me tell you, they were in the wilderness. You know, you would think, wouldn't you, the light would come on. Whoa! Now, this ought to mean something here. God's all of a sudden teaching about the Sabbath here in the wilderness. So I want us to get this. I really want to work hard here and hope I can relay this thought to you. And you know the story. He was providing them with the food and the quail and the water and the air conditioning and all this. He was taking care of the people. He was basically telling them, man, you go out 6 days and you bust it. You can work 16 hours, 24 hours a day if you want to, 6 days a week. But I want you to take a day for yourself. Now let me read this to you. In Exodus 16:23, it says this. He said to them, Moses here speaking, Moses said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. Now remember, no refrigeration. They're in the wilderness, right? And whatever they would make would spoil really, really quickly. So Moses is telling them, this is special. If you boil it and make it today, God's going to make sure it's okay tomorrow. He's going to take care of you. And then I want to read to you Exodus 16:29. It says this, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Now, I want you to repeat that back to me, but I want you to say it this way. The Lord has given me the Sabbath. Would you say that back to me? The Lord has given me the Sabbath. I want you to make it personal, because He has. And if you'll get it, it's going to keep you from times of wilderness and shorten times of wilderness that we do go through. He says, the Lord's given you the Sabbath. That is why. Here's why. That is why on the sixth day He gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out, so the people rested on the seventh day. Now, what is this meaning? First of all, notice that it's given to you. It's for you. It's for your good. The Sabbath is for you, for your own good. It's, you know, we get it so messed up. We think that we're supposed to come in here and jump around and praise God, and it's to Him. No, it's for you. And this is what I'm wanting to relate. What this will work in our life is the time to avoid wildernesses. He says, this is for you. Now, I want us to get it. What he says is this. What you think you would get by working extra, I'll just go ahead and give you if you'll observe the Sabbath. If you don't observe the Sabbath and you go out there, whatever that you think you've got, it's not going to be there. It's going to evaporate. It's going to rot. But if you'll observe it, I'll make sure you get whatever that it would be plus a little bit more than you would have gotten had you worked. This is what he's really saying here. And we never really seem to get it. I really want us to get this point because I think it's going to help so many people if I can relay it. See, it's about way more than taking a time of rest for your body. Way more than that. It's more than not working on Sunday. And I know that the Sabbath isn't Sunday, okay? So get off of that. I know. But what I want us to do is see this. Because it's not a day. It's an experience. And here's what I want to put on the screens for you so that you'll get it. This is what it means. God designed the Sabbath to disrupt life's routines and give you time to remember and reflect and appreciate. I'm going to say that again. God has designed this time, this experience, to interrupt your life from all your toil and all your worry and cause you to come to a time in your life where you'll stop and you'll think back. You'll reflect on your week, because it should happen every week, right? You'll reflect on the decisions that you made during that week. You'll reflect on the attitudes you had during that week. You'll reflect on the relationships that you had that week. You'll reflect on your successes that you had that week. You'll reflect on your failures that you had that week. This is what it's about. The Sabbath isn't about just resting your body. The Sabbath is about reflecting and appreciating your life. And reflecting back what God's done for you and remembering what you've already been able to experience in life. Jesus got all upset with the Pharisees because what they did is they subverted the Sabbath day. They made the Sabbath not an experience, they made it an observation. And they would condemn you if you didn't do it. And Jesus, this is one reason that he would go out and he would heal people on the Sabbath and he would teach on the Sabbath, because he would interrupt their life. He would disturb their lives in such a way that they had to reflect. He would go out and he would do a teaching on relationships and about not hating people, when all of a sudden people have got to reflect. Well, you know, just this past Tuesday, I got into it with my wife. I didn't, but I'm using this as an example. And you know what? Whoa. Better deal with that. All right. So he would talk about finances and giving and those kinds of things, and giving to the poor. And he would cause you to stop and reflect. He would interrupt your life like that. Or he'd heal somebody. And he'd say, whoa. People would stop and say, whoa, we gotta appreciate God for this. And so he would go out, and one day he was walking through the fields with his guys, and I want to read it to you. It's in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and it says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. Imagine this. And as his disciples walked along with him, they began to pick some heads of grain. You know, the little wheat fields, barley fields, and the kernels at the top. They would just rake some off and eat them. All right. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Then he, Jesus, said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not made so you have to come in here and observe praise and worship and listen to a preacher preach. That's not what it's about. It's about you. It's for you. It's causing you to have a time of reflection in your life where you look back at what's happened in this past week and begin to deal with some issues to keep you out of wildernesses. And he says, because of that, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what I do. And if people will do what I do, then all of a sudden the Sabbath will make sense to you. See, the Sabbath is about you and causing us to reflect. I think at LifeGate Church, I do a great job doing that. I bring you to a Sabbath experience. Now, let me explain what I'm trying to say. See, the Sabbath should cause us every week to ask this question. Do I have the life I want? If I don't, then why don't I? And it causes us to reflect. And if we'll reflect every week on why or why I don't have the life I want, then we're going to avoid or at least shorten some length of times of wildernesses that we're going to experience. For example, there's hardly a week that you'll come in here that I won't challenge you with something. Maybe this week it's going to be finances. I'll challenge you with your giving, or I'll challenge you with your finances. If I can relay that to you and cause you to reflect and look back on the decisions that you made financially the past week, maybe, just maybe, you can avoid a financial wilderness or at least shorten one. If I can say something about your marriage and your relationship with your spouse that causes you to stop and reflect and think back about what's happened this past week with your spouse, maybe, just maybe, I can help you avoid or maybe shorten the length of time of a wilderness experience that you'll have with marriage, a marriage wilderness. Or maybe with your children or with your parents. If I can say something about home and family that challenges you, maybe I can help you avoid a wilderness with your children or a wilderness with your parents. Maybe if I can say something every week or along the ways that causes you to stop and reflect about forgiveness, and all of a sudden you've realized and you reflect, well, I've got hatred in my heart. Maybe I can help you avoid a time where that hatred in your heart turns out to a physical illness in your body, and you can avoid a wilderness of physical health. Maybe. You see, that's what it's about. It's for you. And what the Sabbath is what it's supposed to do, is cause us to remember and to reflect and to appreciate. It causes us to ask the question, do I have the life I want? What kind of relationships do I have? What kind of attitudes do I have? What kind of decisions have I made this week? What successes have I had? What failures have I had? And if we did that every week, how many wildernesses would we really avoid? Unnecessary wildernesses. And the wildernesses that we find ourselves in, how much could they be shortened? How many of you would admit that if you were to, in your wilderness times, stop, reflect, and fix those things that needed fixing, you could come out of your wilderness pretty quick? Anybody? That's what the Sabbath is for. And if we would observe the Sabbath every week, we would avoid a lot of wildernesses that we wouldn't have to go through, and we would shorten the length of time of the wildernesses that we do. The Bible says something very, very interesting about Jesus and the wilderness. It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 12. I mentioned it earlier that I was going to relate to this. It says this, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Now, what did the Spirit do to Jesus? That's not a trick question. What does it say? He drove him into the wilderness. Does it sound like he wanted to go? No. Does it sound like Jesus wanted to go, or did the Spirit have to push him a little bit? Driveth. You're going to the wilderness, buddy. The Spirit driveth him to the wilderness. We should learn something from that. It's not something Jesus wanted to go and do. Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. See, the wilderness isn't something that even the Son of God wanted to do, but it was a necessary part of being who he was. And he was going into the wilderness, he embraced it, and he worked it into his life. And coming out of that time, even the Son of God came out with something he didn't go in with. Now get this. He comes out in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and it says this, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." He didn't go in with the power of the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness with what? With the power of the Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, needed a wilderness experience. "He came out with the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." Let me read you this one. In Luke 4:18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said. Now he's enunciating his ministry, telling people what he's here to do. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Even Jesus, the Son of God, came out of the wilderness with a power he didn't have when he went in, and coming out with a greater revelation of who he was and what he was supposed to do. That's what will happen to you in a proper wilderness experience. Yep. In the wilderness, you will meet God. In the wilderness, you will meet Satan. You will meet the devil. But the greatest thing that's going to happen to you in your wilderness is you'll meet you. You'll see who you are. You'll see what you really want. You'll see what you're really going to do. Those decisions and those things are decided in your wilderness. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge. If you meet the challenge, you'll do something great with your life. You'll have a great life. If you fail the challenge, you'll do like the nation of Israel. You'll wander around in that wilderness all your life. Your whole life will be spent in a wilderness, fighting the same enemies over and over, walking around the same mountain over and over. But if you meet the challenge and you learn what you need to learn, you'll come out of that thing with power. You'll come out of that thing knowing who you are and what you're supposed to do. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us understand the challenge of the wilderness. Help us understand that it's there we learn who we are and what we are. Help us understand that it's there we come to a realization and a revelation of what we're supposed to be. I ask you to help us now. Make this real to us. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. See, the main thing that I wanted you to hear today is the principle of the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath. Some of you are in the wilderness simply because you do not observe the Sabbath. You don't reflect. Oh, you know you're in financial trouble, or you know you're in marital trouble, or you know you're having trouble with your kids, but you're not reflecting and fixing it. And so you're staying in that wilderness. And what God is saying today to each of us is, listen, I'm telling you how to come out of your wilderness and how to come out with power. How many of you would go along with me? You see, there's areas in my life that it seems like I keep fighting and fighting and fighting over and over and over. And this has been a revelation to me. If I'll just learn the Sabbath, if I'll learn to reflect on those particular things, I can come out of this thing. How many of you would raise your hand along with me and saying, yeah, there are things in my life that I'm staying in the wilderness about? Would you raise your hand if that's you? Man, hands all over the place. Let us pray together.